so I don't have that much slides because I was planning to just go through a demo and only focus on showing you stuff. Today is about Windows Azure Mobile Services, a little bit about connecting cross-platform devices. So the focus is not on building the client, but more on what Windows Azure Mobile Services can do for you in the backend. So quickly, for those who don't know me yet, I'm Christoph. Beginning of this year, I founded a new company, which is called AppStory, where I'm both managing it and also responsible for everything which is related to technology. The focus of our company is building mobile strategy based on Microsoft technology, which is Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, and of course Windows Azure. So that's where this part, Windows Azure Mobile Services, is perfectly fitting into. I'm also part of the Microsoft Extended Experts team, where my focus is also Windows 8 and Windows Azure. And I'm also helping out the Windows Azure user group here in Belgium to give sessions and to do the day-to-day management of it. So if you would like to get in touch, you can find our Twitter handlers on the bottom. And also, if you want to, you can always send me an email. So what are we going to talk about today? Windows Azure Mobile Services. So I'm trying to make sure that I'm going to cover everything in this 1 hour. So first of all, we're going to look at what the database is going to be like on Windows Azure, create a mobile service, work a little bit with data, integrate with authentication and authorization. I'm going to use Twitter for that. Focus on push notifications to see what you can do to sending notifications from the cloud to any client. Some jobs, and then to look a little bit at what logging and diagnostics can mean for you if you have some problems. So what is there in Windows Azure Mobile Services? A quick overview, all the parts which we are going to talk about today. So data, server-side logic, notifications, diagnostics, scalability, authentication, authorization, it's all there out of the box, and I'm trying to show you how you can implement all of those features easily using Windows Azure. So let's get started, and we're going to the Windows Azure portal, which is currently showing nothing because it's my portal, it's still empty. So the first thing you want to do when working with mobile services is creating a new database. You can create a new mobile service and have a database automatically created for you, but for me, I think it's easier to start with a new database, a new service, so that you can manage it separately, and you can also use an existing SQL Azure database, or you can use one database which you already are using for your projects and hook up another mobile service into that database. So I'll start with creating a new server, and I'm just going to create a new login for it. I'm going to check my subscription, and I'm going to put it in North Europe. I'm going to put it in North Europe, just closest to where I'm living, so it's going to be the fast connection speed. And I'm also going to check allow Windows Azure services to access the server, so which means that if I'm going to create a Windows Azure mobile service, or if I want to use it from within Azure services, it's already, the firewall has already been configured for me. So I create a new server. So Windows Azure is now provisioning this new server for me. And so my server is already there, and I can start by creating a new database. So for this, I'm going to create a generic database for my company. I hook it up to the correct subscription. I choose my server, and I have already a new SQL database up and running on Windows Azure. And to show you that it's manageable through the standard tools which you are used to work with, like Management Studio, I'm going to show you. You take your server, you go to the dashboard of the server. On the Configure tab, you can change which IP addresses are allowed to connect from the outside of the data center into this this instance of your server, of your database. So for now, I'm going to create a rule which you should never create, but which is currently the easiest one to get through the Microsoft network, which is a rule which will allow any IP address to connect from the outside into this server. I take the URL from my database, I copy it, I open SQL Management Studio, I paste the URL on port 1433. I log in to the server with the account I just created. And so you see now it's just connecting like any regular SQL Server database, showing my database app story with no tables currently created yet. So this is the first step which you want to do if you're going to work with mobile services, is creating a new server and a new database which is going to be storing the data which you will be working with in your mobile service. So once you have done that, the second step you want to take is going to mobile services and create a new mobile service. So I'm going to call it Webcast WAMS, which is Windows Azure Mobile Services. I select use an existing SQL database instance. I use my correct subscription. I put it also in North Europe, so it's closest to the database as possible. And I choose my App Store server and database. I log in. And like this, I'm hooking up my Windows Azure Mobile Service to the database we just created in the first step, so that the service is going to open up the database through REST to make sure that I can start inserting data, start managing my data through the mobile service. So this seems to be taking a while. Not sure why. Okay, so it's fine. So now the Windows Azure mobile service is being created and it's going to be linked to my database. So once it is created, it shouldn't take that long. It's now being provisioned in the data center, also behind the load balancer, so that in case you have multiple services running, a lot of clients which will be using it, it's already load balanced for you and you can immediately start using it in a scalable way without you needing to do anything for that. So you see it's ready and it gets a URL which you see, okay, the service is up and running, you're ready to go. So we now have a database, we have a mobile service, but we don't have something to store our data in. So if you want to create tables, you can of course do it through SQL Management Studio, but the portal itself offers you the possibility to manage it. So how to do that is you go to data, you see you have no tables, you say add a new table. So I'm going to make a very simple app, because the focus today is not about building the app, but more about the backend. So I'm just going to create a new Windows 8 app, which is going to be able to store messages of certain users into the database. Currently I just make the table message and security permissions, which we will look at later. So now it's creating a new table message, and you will see that if I now go to SQL Management Studio and I refresh my tables, that it created the new table with the name I just created within the schema of the mobile service name. So very handy, because if you have one database can host multiple Windows Azure mobile services, because the schema is going to be the limiting factor for which tables belong to which service. So so if I select from this table, you see that the only thing which I currently have is an ID, which is a regular integer set up as an identity to automatically number new values which are going to be added. So this is step one. So something special you can do is on configure, you can say, you see the option dynamic schema, which means that from now on, now that I have the table, the only property, the only column which is added by the Windows Azure Mobile Service is the ID property. Once I start adding data into this service and I use a column or a property which doesn't exist yet, it will be automatically created for me if I enable dynamic schema. If you don't want that, you can disable it and you can manage your schema yourself and manage all your columns and everything. If you want to change your database or your SQL Server underneath, you can also do it through this way. So let's now go to Visual Studio and create a new Windows 8 app to link our Windows Azure Mobile Service. So create a new project. I'm going to create a blank app. So I'm going to put it So I create a new blank Windows 8 app, And the first thing I need to do is I need to tell my application where to find my mobile service and which credentials it needs to use to authenticate against this service. So how do you do that? It's pretty simple. You go to your start page, and here you can choose connect an existing Windows Store app, and it shows you the C# code, which you can just paste into your app.xaml, into your app. The code behind for that, and to link your mobile service with it. So you see that I need to import it, a namespace. It's not known yet. The first thing you need to do for that is to add a reference to Windows Azure Mobile Services. And if you have not installed it yet, you can also do it through the portal, install the Mobile Services SDK, which will add some extensions to Visual Studio to allow you to do to work with Windows Azure Mobile Services. So I add a reference to the Mobile Services. I include this, so you see it's linked to my mobile service with my key to be able to authenticate the app to the service and to make sure that that I can exchange data with it. So now that I have hooked up my mobile service, yeah, of course I need some way to interact with it, to work with an entity named message. So I will add a new class, which is called message, which is just going to be the representation of my message table on the backend in code. So what I'm going to store in this message is pretty simple. It's going to be a text, the text I add in the application to store in the backend. So for that, that's the only thing I need to do. For that, I'm going to change my main page, which is currently empty, and I'm going to make a pretty simple app, which is having a grid with two columns. And on the left, I'm just going to show a list view of all the text I've typed in, showing every item, just showing the text, and then a grid where I show a text box where I can enter the message and a button where I can click to send. So if I start up this app, it should work. And you see, it shows me a text box, a button, and a list which is currently not showing anything. So I'm going to add the handler for the click, and in this handler I'm going to create a new object of type message, the entity I just created, put the text to the text field, the text box I created, and now use the service, the Windows Azure Mobile Service which I referenced into my app.xaml, to get a reference to the table to start inserting data into it. So mobile service dot, you see I have a method get table which takes a generic, which in this case I use as a type message so that it's typed, and I can talk, say to the message table dot insert async of my message. And once that is completed, the only thing which remains is clearing the text box and also loading all the items into my my view. But I'm already going to start with this to show you that currently there's nothing in my table. I add the text property, and now that I'm going to call my service, I'm going to back to my database. You see that it added automatically the column text with the value hello and inserted the first record into the table, and I didn't have to do that much to get it up and running. So now, to load all the items, the first moment when I go to this page, when I'm navigated to this page, I want to load all my messages. So I'm going to create a new method, load messages, and exactly the same as I did before. I'm going to go to the message table, and I'm going to say to collection view, which I can immediately bind to my message list view item source property. And so when the page is loaded, I'm going to do it, and every time, not that great currently, but every time I'm going to add a new item, I'm going to reload and show them in the list. So now the app starts up, I see hello. And every time I now add one, it's going to be shown in the list. So to easily show you that loading data, it's only two lines, it's pretty easy. Inserting data is also very nice, very easy. So what we did now is we managed to write the code to do some basic stuff. Of course, what you also want to do is perhaps you want to have some server-side logic to make sure that there is some validation on some properties, to make sure that data can only be inserted in some way, some authorization. So I'm going to show you a few things on that. So I go back to the portal, I choose data, I open the details of my table, which is message, and then you see there a tab script where you can manage some scripts which will be handled server-side. So you can hook up in the insert, update, delete, and read method. So the first thing I will do is I will extend the insert function, and I will say that every time an item is created, so item is the message in this case which will be added, I can say I want to store the date when this item is created. So instead of doing that in my own code, I'm going to do that server side. So in case I have multiple clients, they all benefit from the server side logic and don't have to include it in their own application. So I save. It's already done. I run the app. I add a new item. I go to my database and you see it added the column created at with the date of today, the timestamp of now. So pretty simple. The second thing we can do is we can also add some validation. So we can, for instance, say if item.text.length is bigger than 10, I want to give an error to the user because I only want to accept text of maximum 10 in length. So you can tell the request, which is the initial one which comes in through the service, you can tell it to respond, and you can tell it to send a status code, bad request, with an error message you choose yourself. So the error message can, for instance, be message too long, should be max 10. Save. So that's all we have to do. Now we start up the app. We add a new item. And you see, it was not longer than 10. So I will add some long text. You see that the app is still working, but it's not saving the data anymore if it's longer than 10. Why? Because it receives an exception from the server side. The server says, no, it's not valid. But in my code, I'm not really handling it because I'm doing it asynchronously, so it's running separately in a separate thread, so I cannot show the user what's wrong. So I need to change this code a little bit to make sure that when I do it asynchronously, that I can handle this this message. So I quickly take some code here. So I'll put I make this method async so that it can run asynchronously, but I await the insert, and in case it throws a mobile service invalid operation exception, I'm going to show the user a message dialog with the content of the exception, the status description, and the status code of the HTTP response. So the rest I didn't change the code, but you will see now that if I start it up and I will do edit, it will show you it's a bad request, HTTP 400, because I gave it back a bad request. The message is too long, it should be maximum 10. So like this, we added server-side some validation and also a possibility to add new properties into the message without always doing it from the client. Of course, I now did it in the insert, but it's the same structure if you say you want to add some audit columns to know who did it, when is it done, on the update and the delete. For instance, if you don't want to physically delete but you want to do an update instead and mark it as deleted, it can be done in the delete script as well. So this is the basic things which you can do if you are working with data. So you can create tables, you can hook up into the insert, update, delete, and read scripts, and you can work like this, do some validation, add some properties. Pretty simple. What we will do now is we will see, you see also that every method gets in a user object. Currently the user object is not filled in because I didn't add authentication to my application. So that's the next step which we will go into do, is to extend this application to allow users to authenticate to the service, to let them know this is me, and to make sure that you can handle the user and do some filtering on that. So to do that, you go back to your dashboard, you see a tab identity, and on the tab identity you can or link it to a Microsoft account, to Facebook, to Twitter, or to Google. So I'm going to use Twitter because it's pretty simple to get started. So you go to dev.twitter.com, you log in with your Twitter account, you go to My Applications, and I already created this yesterday, so I will first delete it. So you create a new app, create new application, and then to go through which settings you need to get started. So you just enter the name of your application. So you enter the website, doesn't matter. And then really important for the mobile service is the callback URL. So it's the URL which is going to be called when the authentication is completed, and this is the one which the app is going to capture and needs to validate against your mobile service to know that it's really a correct authentication which is being done. So what do you need to enter there is just the full URL of your mobile service. I have to accept the rules, enter this very nice captcha, and my application has been created. And you see what Twitter does is it generates a consumer key and a consumer secret. So the first thing you do is you copy the consumer key, you enter it in your portal, you copy the consumer secret, you paste it in the portal, and you save. And from now on, the authentication on Twitter has been activated on mobile service. But if I now start up my application, everything is still working. You see there is no difference. The application is still working. Why? I will show you. Because to allow, to enable this, I also need to go back to my data, my message table. There is a tab permissions, and on permissions I can define what happens, whether the authentication needs to be triggered or not. So insert into the message table can be done by anybody with the application key. If you change it to only authenticated users, you will see what happens. So I'm going to change this to only authenticated users. I save. Okay. And if I run this again, once it's calling the mobile service, you see I get an error, mobile service invalid operation exception, unauthorized. So the service is now saying you're not authorized to do this operation. You first need to log in. So that's what we're going to do next. So where do we do that? Before, we are going to load the messages. We are going to authenticate, so that before any operation has been done through the service, I need to authenticate, which I'm going to do here. For that, you keep a mobile service user reference, which is just an object containing who you are, and I'm going to keep doing the authentication until you're successfully logged in. So what happens? You're going to call the mobile service login async for Twitter. This is an enumeration, so based on which ones you're going to do, Facebook, Google, Microsoft account, or Twitter, you select the correct one. Once you're logged in, I'm just going to show a message dialog to the user saying, okay, login successfully with the user ID from the user. I need to make this method async, and I also need to await it here. Why? Because I need to wait until the authentication is done before I can before I can continue, because everything I do with the message table is of course needs authentication. So for that I need to return a task which is being returned by await. So currently I'm waiting until the authentication is done to continue loading my messages. So if I now start up the application, you will see what happens. immediately shows you a connecting to a service dialog, which shows Twitter integration, and it asks, yeah, you can use your Twitter account to log into it. Do you want to allow the Webcast WAMS application to access your Twitter profile? It can read tweets and it can look at who you follow, so that's a standard profile. So I log into my Twitter account. It redirects me to that callback URL and it gives me, you're now logged in and this is my Twitter ID. So it's it's not the email address, it's just a unique identifier to know for a user who you are to link into your data. So now calling the service works again. I can add extra items, everything fine. So of course, now that we have authentication, we can go back to our mobile service, to the message table, to the script, to the insert method, and every time there's an insert, we can, for instance, store the user ID, which we get from the user object passed in through the authentication mechanism, and save it into the message table. So saving the script, starting up the application, logging in to Twitter again, okay, and now if I create a new, we go back to to Management Studio, you see there's no property user ID. If I now go to the app and I create a new item, it's added, and if I go to Management Studio, you see that it's stored Twitter with my ID into the table, which allows me now to go even further and to go back to my mobile service, to the read script, and something which you see passed into the read method is a query object, which allows you to do everything which you're used to do using link in your code. You can also do on the backend. So for instance, you can say, I want to add a where condition. In this, I want to say equal the user ID to the user object dot user ID, so only return the messages which I created in the first place. So it's a basic where you do, and then execute the request. So if I save this, my app is still running, and I add a new item, it reloads, it will only show the ones which I created and not the other ones. So like this, I can do basic filtering to show you only the data which you're entitled to see. So I, like you saw, I changed the backend server script and I don't need to restart my app, it's automatically automatically in place. So now that we have this, yeah, we can of course go a lot further with it. We can do some authorization and stuff, but it's up to you to implement server side what you need. These are some basic stuff, showing only the data for a certain user, storing for which user the data was created. So this is the authentication part. You can extend it of course with Facebook, which will work exactly the same. You get a user ID, which is a format of Facebook. What we can now do is we can go a step further and extend it, our app, with push notifications. Also a very nice feature of Windows Azure Mobile Services, to allow notifications to be sent from the cloud into your application. Whether it's a Windows Phone 8 application, a Windows 8 application, it doesn't matter. It's going to be sending push notifications from the cloud. So to do that, you go to the tab to your mobile service, to the tab push, and there you see that you can do it for the Apple push notification, so if you're creating an iOS application, but we're going to look into the Windows push notifications. So for that you need a client secret and a package SID. So how does it work? You go to the Dev Center, the Windows Store Apps Dev Center, you log in with your Live ID, and there on your dashboard you can manage which apps you're currently created. This is also the place if you're creating a new Windows 8 app, where you're going to submit your app later and link it to your store account so that you can start selling it. But before I'm going to really submit an app, I need to create some name for my app, some basic info, and it's also this portal which is going to generate for me the key and the SID, the package ID, which I need to integrate notifications. So I'm going to create a new app, so submit an app, I'm going to give it a name, the same name. Save. So your app is now ready, ready to be linked to your store. And then on advanced features, you see that there is a push notifications and Live Connect service. You open it up and there you will see it opens the dev portal, push notifications and Live Connect, which is separate from the Windows 8 Dev Center. Why? Because you can also use it from Windows Phone 8. And then under authenticating your service, you see there's a package SID and a client secret. So it's a package SID, which I need to copy, paste here. And it's a client secret, which I need to copy and paste here. So that's the first tip I need to do to enable my app to be able to send notifications from the backend and receive notifications from the client. So next step we need to do is we need to add some code here to be able to register our app to receive notifications. So how do we do that? Pretty simple. In the app.xaml, on the same place where you keep your mobile service, you're going to keep the push notification channel, which is just going to be nothing more than a URI, which is a link to where the push notifications will be sent. And then on the launched, I'm going to acquire a push channel to keep the to keep the channel, to make a new URI, to register this app to the push notification service, and to tell the backend where it can reach this application. So to acquire this push channel, I need to do a few things. So the first thing I need to do is I need to ask the push notification channel manager. I make this async. I need to tell it to create a new push notification channel for my application and do it asynchronously. The second thing is, now I need this URI. So if I go to current channel, it has a property URI. I need to store this URI in my backend to be able to send from my backend to that URI the notification. So again, I'm going to add a new entity, which is called channel, which is just going to be a table server side to store all the channels where this is going to be linked to. So again, has an ID and it has a URI. So like we did before, I go back to data, I create a new table and I call it channel. And the permissions for this can be just put anybody with the application key. Why? Because when the application starts up, I can already register my channel while the authentication is being performed. So that since it's running asynchronously, it can do both operations at the same time. It doesn't have to wait until you're authenticated to save this channel to this table. So I create a new channel table. Okay. I go back to my app.xaml. And every time I acquire a push channel, I'm going again mobile service.getTable channel, and channel table.insert async new channel, and I put it the URI to the URI of the current channel I got back from the push notification channel manager. Like this. Okay, and I'm going to await it like this. Now if we start up again, I'm going to go to Management Studio and you see it saved the channel into this table. And yeah, the URI is a little bit strange format, but it's db3.notify.windows.com and then a token which is generated by your client. So the problem we have now is, this is the channel where you can send notifications to. If I start up my app again, you see that it added the same channel again. Why? Because a channel is unique for your client, so every time I start up this client, it's going to add a new channel. So this is a great opportunity for us to change the backend and to make sure that it only allows the channel to be created, to be inserted, when it's not already there. So I'm going to quickly clean up this table like this. And how do we do that? You go to your channel table, script, on insert, you're going to, and I'm going to take this one. One advice I give you, it's also in the last slide as a wrap up. What I do is I manage my my scripts locally so I can version them in my source control. Why? Because server side, it's only there. If you make a mistake, you break your backend service. I do it here so that I can also apply them on different environments, development, staging, production, and I can manage it separately and also have a little bit history on what I'm doing. So let me copy this and I'll quickly explain what it's doing. So first thing, I'm going to request the table I created, channel, tables.getTable. I'm going to say to the channel table, give me a channel back where the URI equals the URI you get into when inserting a new one. Read from that table, and when the read is successful, when I can read it, call this method, which is another function, and which is called insert channel if not found, which gets back the list of all the channels found for the URI which I added in my where condition. If there is a channel found, I'm just going to tell the request to respond immediately with HTTP 200, not doing the insert, and send me HTTP 100 and send back the channel which was already created. In the other case, I'm going to do the normal execute of the request and insert this this channel into the table. So I save it. So if I now start up my app, you'll see that it created a new channel. If I start it again, you see that it kept this one and it returned that one, and it's not going to create a new one. So great. So these are the first steps we need to do. So now that we have our application hooked up to the notification channel, we created a new channel, we served it backend, we can of course call now the push notification service, which is hosted by Microsoft, with this channel to send a push notification into our client. So how do we do that? We go back to the message table, to the insert script, and we're going to extend this a little bit, that every time a new message is inserted into the table, that's going to send a push notifications to all the channels which are registered, so to all the clients which are currently available. So I'm going to take that code and I'm going to explain it as well. So I'm going to replace this execute with this code. So what it's going to do, it's going to call request.execute, just saying do the insert, but on success call the function to just respond back to the caller that everything is okay, but also to send notifications. Another function, again similar code, you get the channel table, you read from the channel table all the channels you can find. On success of read, you call the function read as parameter channels, which is in this case an enumerable of all the channels available in the table. And for each channel you find, I'm going to call the push dot WNS, the Windows notification service, to send a toast notification on the URI of the channel with, as a text, the text of my message. Item is my message and the text of that message. And when this is successful, I'm going to log into the console that the push notification was sent correctly. So I save. So you see, if you have written this code to send notifications once, and you store it outside of your backend in your normal code repository, you can reuse it on every other place, on every other project. So it's some basic code you can easily reuse. So if I start up now my app, you will see that it's not working yet, but we'll see why. So I log into Twitter. I expect now that if I create a new item, that it's going to send me a push notification, but it's not. So it's, I'm not seeing a toast because I still forgot two things. First thing I forgot is I need to tell my manifest, my application, that it's allowed to send toasts. So in the manifest file, you see there is an option under notifications, toast capable, not set. I need to put it to yes to say that this application is allowed to send toasts. And the second thing I need to do is, you will see in the log, that this one gave an error. This is, by the way, the place to look if there is something wrong in your backend. There is a tab logs where you can just see every action which happens on your mobile service to see what happens. So I'm taking this one. If I take the details, you see that it says the cloud service is not authorized to send a notification to this URL, even though they are authenticated. The reason for that is, if you see this message, is because I didn't link my Windows 8 app to the Windows 8 store. So that I'm going to do now. So you right click your project, you see there's a menu item store, you say associate app with the store, you need to sign in. So you just take the same credentials which you're used to log into your dev center. So you just log in, you get a list of all the apps, so the webcast WAMPs, which is the one I just created before. It's going to download the package name, publisher ID, and link it to the store, so associated it, and this is the authorization it needs to be able to send push notifications. So if I now start up again, you will see, if I log into Twitter again, which I need to do every time, it will send a toast notification. Toast. So now it's sending this toast notification to every client which is connected to this Windows Azure Mobile Services through the cloud. And to show you that it's indeed the service which does it, I refresh my logs and you will see that it shows you an info message. It says, okay, I sent to this channel, which is the one I have in my table, the notification with the following headers, and it has been received by the client. Okay, so this is pretty cool. So what you can also have is, of course, on Windows 8 you can disable your notifications. So if I, for instance, as a user during a talk like this, I don't want to receive notifications, I can say hide for 1 hour. And if I now go through the app again, and if I would now send a notification, you will see that it's going to be rejected by the operating system, but on the server side it's still going to be okay. So how does it look like if you have this situation? It might be handy for debugging. So you see I don't get any toast anymore because I disabled it on operating system level. If I go back to my log, you see that I should have, it sent it, but it's still not updated. Yeah, this is an old one. I have to wait until it's refreshed, but let's try again. Seems like showing still the logs of yesterday evening, which is strange because I created a brand new Windows Azure service, but it gave an error. And so it says the Windows notification service which returned HTTP status code 200, which means I could send the notification to the WNS, but it got the value of dropped, which means that the client listening on this channel has dropped this notification and cannot receive it. So I'm going to enable them again. So the last thing, which is pretty nice. So now this is based on the user action. So you do something from your application and a notification is being triggered. Of course, there are a lot of situations where you want notifications to be sent even though the user is currently not really using the application. So the application might be closed down, the application might be just on a tile, something might be happening. So how do you do that for mobile services? There's also a pretty nice feature which is recently added, which is a scheduler. So which allows you to create scheduled tasks server-side, which runs every 15 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, and which can do a job for you. Clean up a table, send some emails, send some notifications. So that's what we're going to do now. So I'm going to create a new scheduled job. So I'm going to call it send tile notifications every 15 minutes. So again, I'm going to pick this code which I already created and which I'm going to reuse. So I'm going to enable my job down here. It's going to run every 15 minutes. It's going to run next at 3 o'clock. So on the script side, I can again replace it with this code. So what does it do? It's going to ask for the message table. It's going to tell the message table to order by all my messages by the created at descending. So which means give me all the messages I have ordered by created at descending, but only take the first one. If this query is successful, send notifications to this first message. So again, the notifications is pretty similar to the code we saw before. So you get the channel table, you do a read. For every channel you find, I'm going to first send a tile notification with the text of the message to the channel URI, exactly the same code as before. And I'm also again going to show a toast, you are pushed, with a fixed text to get the attention of the user and also log it. So this is a scheduled task, I save it, and now even without starting up the application, I run it, you see you're pushed, and if I now go to my tile, you'll see that it's going to show you disabled, which is the last text which I added. So if I now go back to my app and I add a new item, you see that every 15 minutes now it's going to send a tile and a push and a toast notification to all the users using this this application with the last message which I added, last one. So my tile is still the old one. If I now go to my portal and I run this, you're pushed, my tile is going to be updated to last one. So pretty easy to both send tile and toast notifications. Now I did a simple one using only the small one, but you can also send images and the white one and the text, and all the notifications templates which are available can be used. So to end our talk is to look into what other features didn't we have a look at yet. So we looked at data, creating a database and linking tables and creating, using a dynamic schema, a way to interact with data, some scheduling tasks which we have, some push notifications where you link to the dev center, identity using authentication using Twitter. You see also we entered the client secret ID by linking this mobile service, because this is the key it uses to authorize against the notification service. The configure tab where we can link the database and dynamic schema, have some scaling where we can see, of course, currently we're running in free mode. You can go free mode on a small, if we go to reserved, it's going to run on a separate small one core machine for me, and I can scale it up to a few others. I can also scale my database. Currently I'm using a web edition of 1 gigabyte. I can go to 5 gigabytes, or I can go to a business edition and scale it up to 150 gigabytes if I have more. So if I want to, I put it in reserved, I can scale it up to three instances, so that I have three servers running the same mobile service. And then the last feature we already saw is the logs place, where you can see all the errors, all the things which are happening on the backend. So back to the slides. So still one slide about a little bit about pricing. So by default, you're running in the shared mode. So it's currently they're free. You can use 10 for free, so you don't have to pay for it. Of course, you're limited. The next slide is going to show you. You can go to a reserved one, but that might influence your spending limit. That's why I got that error message. Currently, it can only run on a small machine, and you can scale up to three machines. Currently, it's in preview, so there's not really an SLA yet, which will be announced later when the product is going to be finally released. The date when that will be is not really not final yet, so let's wait and see for that. So to wrap up, as you saw during the talk, I think it's pretty easy to get started. You can easily get started with data, even for free. If you have already a database, you can run multiple services inside the same database, or you can reuse an existing database or have a separate database for all your mobile services. A lot of features which you need for building modern apps are there by default. So on one hand, yeah, you have data, you have push notifications for all platforms. You have identity and authentication integration, server-side scripting, you have the scheduled tasks. So a lot of things which you need to build modern apps are there. And the development kits for iOS, Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 are already available, and Android is currently in the make, so it will be coming soon. But if you have a client which is currently not fully supported or doesn't have an SDK yet, you can always go through the REST. The API is fully REST compliant, so you can do everything through REST, which is pretty nice, because currently we're doing a project with Windows Phone 7 and Windows 8, and the Windows Phone 7 part is going to be done using Windows Azure Mobile Services, but using the REST API. A few tips of myself. Yeah, the server-side scripts, if you only do it server-side, it's going to be a little bit messy. I would advise you to store them locally in your source code repository, version them there, and always test them separately on separate environments, and move them to production if they're ready. The logging feature is also pretty handy, because you can easily see where is the problem, what is happening, what should I do with it, where is there still a problem, why is this push notification not working, because there are many reasons why. It can be authentication against the WNS, it can be your push notifications which are disabled locally. There are a lot of reasons why it can fail. Then the last tip is, of course, now we only looked at Windows Azure Mobile Services, because this is already a lot of content to cover in 1 hour. But there are a lot of other integration scenarios with other Windows Azure features, like Windows Azure Service Bus, storage, queues. So if you're interested, Nick Harris has a lot of samples available. He's responsible of building all those samples for Windows 8 and Windows Azure Mobile Services. He has a lot of great stuff available on how to integrate with Service Bus, how to call queues, blobs, storage. So have a look at that at windowsazure.com. And of course, yeah, now that you saw the flexibility and the power of Windows Azure Mobile Services, yeah, it's pretty simple to get started with all Windows 8 or Windows Phone apps, because it's basically free to get started. You can start small for free, and if the service is running well, you can migrate to a bigger one, to a shared or reserved instance, and to scale up when needed. If not, it was free, so you didn't lose a thing. So that was my talk. If there are still questions, shoot. Feel free to add them in the chat window. I thank you already for joining this session. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you have questions, you can also mail them or put them in the chat window. Thank you.